Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, May 24, 2023. I want to welcome everyone. I want to thank you so much for your belief and trust in this platform. And I ask a favor, please. Please, I mean, don't make me come to your house and do this for you, okay? Subscribe to Hagman Report on Rumble. Subscribe as well on Brighteon and give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Make a comment, begin a conversation. It affects the algorithms and it elevates the visibility of this platform. I've been talking with a lot of people who will be coming on this program. Some very influential people. In fact, I have one today coming up. One I believe maybe you've never heard of or you have heard of and dismissed. Can't do that. I spoke to a number of individuals. I have been speaking to a number of individuals associated with the SARS-CoV-2 hoax. When I say hoax, look, it's a thing. I mean, it happened, but I'm talking about the infrastructure behind it. Very important. I have, this is just to let you know the back story, the inside baseball. I've been talking with some of Senator Kennedy's people. I've been talking with some of President Donald Trump's people. I've been talking with others. I've also been speaking with, when I say others, I hesitate to mention, I don't want you to think I'm name dropping, but together what we're trying to do is we're trying to avoid a
name dropper.
Yeah, I know. You know, brother, I'll tell you something.
It's part of the business.
Well, I want people to know that this is more than just a person with a microphone.
We're in it.
Thank you. You know, look, I'm an investigator by profession. I say that all the time. I'm not a talk show host. You can tell I'm not a talk show host because I just don't have that, I don't know, that gift. I mean, who would
You always got wires coming out of your neck.
Do I have it today? I do, don't I? Wow. Yeah, you know, hair and makeup, they fail to show up every day. Of course, we don't have hair and makeup. You know that. But here's the thing. If we, you know, the thing. I got hairy legs.
Got more wires, too.
Got more. I didn't fix it, did I? I don't care. I do my best to look my best because I do respect the, I respect the profession in terms of when people try to convey information. Accurate information. I do my best to do that.
Only those with the tie can do that.
You know, I do that again because I've worn the tie for my whole adult life. and it's hard not to. I could go the Fetterman route. What do you think of that? You know, there isn't, by the way, there's a dress code for Congress and he's violated the dress code. There was a time when women were sent home because they had sleeveless dresses and they were made to change. Now you can show up apparently in what is it, a hoodie and
gym shorts
and sneakers
that I think are shorts. They're either shorts or really short pants
or underwear. I mean I don't know, but obviously
just rolled out of bed with. Put my flip-flops on.
Did you see, by the way, did you see OMG Media James O'Keefe. Did you see him talking with Fetterman's chief of staff, if you will?
No, I got to check that out.
Okay. Fetterman, and he was saying, look, Fetterman will vote to repeal the Second Amendment. I mean, you can't do that, obviously, but he'll vote to take away your guns. So he'll do, and by the way, he will do only, or he will deal with only the media that's friendly to him, you know. And
but he's a commoner.
Oh my goodness. Folks, we have been played. We are being played every single day. And whether it is a Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. It's a uniparty. We know that. So today, what I'd like to do with this guest is bring you something a little bit different. There's something going on here. Many things going on, but something in particular going on. And I'll just spare you the wait. We're going to have Lloyd Brunson join us. Now, I 30 plus years filing, working within the court system, filing court papers, warrants, subpoenas, you know, working with attorneys, working with various entities. Okay. I'm very familiar with how things work, and actually both sides of the table, as a defendant, as a plaintiff. So, you know,
a TV tosser.
TV tosser. True. Yeah. Did happen. That was one of my Injustice for All moments, but, being escorted out of a county, which I guess I'm somewhat proud of that, but, it was okay. The judge in that case was forced to retire. Otherwise, that judge would have been sanctioned. But nonetheless, and it's funny too, because I just went through, had to go through all of the video and audio recordings of evidence that I've had for so many years. And I found some FBI tapes, which I have to go through, as well as some VHS tapes, which I've got to go through, and perhaps it will show some. What's that? Oh, okay. All right. No worries. All right. So anyway, I'm very familiar with the court system. That's what I'm saying. I'm comfortable in that environment. I'm not comfortable in this environment. But Lloyd Brunson and his brothers, Roland, Duron, and Gaynor Brunson, they watched. If look, before I go any further, what I want everyone to do, if you've heard about this case, forget everything you've heard, or put it aside. If you haven't heard about this case, pay attention. Do I have faith in the court system today? I don't. No, I don't.
How dare you?
How dare me? But I do
this
have
is America.
It was America, wasn't it? What has the left and the Uniparty, the Rhinos, what have they turned this into? Because here's where we're at in a nutshell, and you know this. The people I speak with, everyone you listen to, if you listen to InfoWars, if you listen to, it doesn't matter, whoever you listen to, I speak with these people and we talk about things. The America we once knew is gone. The Uniparty has destroyed this. We have allowed this destruction. Now, there are very few options that we have to get us out of where we're at. I believe
there's only one.
There's two.
Dos.
Two. One, I think, is God Almighty, His mercy. And that's only if we repent and we pray. And the second one, I'm even afraid, not afraid, I'm just, it disturbs me to talk about. And the second option is just all-out revolution against what we've been pushed into. The other options, if there are any, those I believe are our options. But if you want to expand your vision, I think you have to think about, well, what? You've got to think about, well, maybe there is a way we can kind of sidestep through things. Maybe there are legal ways, judicial ways that we can work our way through this. But with a captured judiciary, how do you do that? If Garland is captured, or if the Department of Justice is a captured operation, how in the hell are you going to do that? It's just like somebody working in a county, and you're familiar with this. I'm sure everyone's familiar with this. Have you been a victim of a case where the police won't do anything for you? You appeal to the DA, they won't do anything to you. Where do you go next? See, that's where we're at today.
Civil matters.
Oh, yes. Yes. If I hear that phrase again, that's a civil matter. And then when you take it as a civil matter, oh, no, that's a criminal matter. We don't have. So, yes, I'm very.
That's the best way to piss you off.
Man, I'll tell you, you tell me it's a civil matter, I'm going to smack you right in the head. You know, I'm telling you. Well, this is a civil matter. I'm watching criminality. I'm watching crimes. Acts against the crimes code occur right in front of me. And I have a cop telling me it's a civil matter. Are you out of your mind? No, it's not a civil matter. It's a criminal matter.
It's called a low-funded police force.
There it is.
We don't have the personnel to deal with it. It's civil.
And that's the thing. What's the left? What are the communists trying to do? They're trying to defund the police. Why? And we have to ask ourselves, look at the bigger picture. Why is this defunding the police so important? Well, it's important because that takes away part of the, a large part of the, not just the enforcement, but the justice during the enforcement. All right. With me, I have a gentleman by the name of Loy Brunson. Now, I don't know if you've heard of him. If you haven't, pay attention, please. I've followed this for quite some time. Loy Brunson is one of four brothers, and he's speaking for the brothers. There's a case called Brunson versus Adams. I believe this was filed back in March of 2021. And this names, I believe, and I could be corrected, 388 named individuals. These individuals are in the legal crosshairs. You're talking people like Pence and members of Congress. And the issue is, well, let me take you back briefly. You remember the 2020 election, obviously. This is why we're here. Ratcliffe was under the ODNI at the time. Ratcliffe was under an executive order. He had 45 days after the election to provide a report regarding election interference, specifically from China. The report was due on December 18th, 45 days after the election. On December 15th, Ratcliffe got up and said, you know what? He told the media, he said, look, I can't provide the report that President Trump requested, that the chief executive officer, the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief requested, because I didn't get any information from the FBI, the CIA, I believe it was CISA, some other departments. Again, out of 17 departments or 16 departments plus one, he didn't get many of the reports.
It's a civil matter.
Yeah, it's a civil matter, boy. So he had to say, look, there's nothing at this point. Here I am. Congress received no intelligence about interference, which led to January 6th. 32 states led by Ken Paxton in Texas, they wanted to review the state's election results. Again, everything was just blown off. Our representatives, the 388 individuals, were elected to protect us from all enemies, foreign and domestic. They took an oath, and they failed in this oath. Now, I have a lot of respect for this gentleman that we have on right now, Loy Brunson. He does not know this, but I have followed this pretty much from day one. And, I just don't know what to think about this. And I want Loy to walk me through this. But Loy and his brothers, again, they saw the 2020 election, along with claims from members of Congress that the election was rigged. What got their attention was when the proposition to investigate those claims was presented to Congress and put to a vote. What came as a shock to the brothers is when they discovered that 387 members of Congress, plus VP Pence, actually voted against the proposed investigation.
Not Pence.
Yeah, Pence. Whether the election was rigged or not was no longer their main concern. Now listen to this. This is not the issue right now. What now became the concern was when those members of Congress violated their sworn oath by voting to thwart the investigation. The brothers wanted to do something about this. And thank God for people like Loy Brunson and his brothers. Thank God, because everyone out there, we could have done this, but we didn't, but they did. Now, their brother, Darren, had quite a lot of experience in the legal field. And by the way, they were famous before this case. Now, that started out when he began suing banks in an attempt to show the corruption in that part of the financial world. So he had enough knowledge to file a lawsuit against the now 385 members of Congress, or at that time, 385 members of Congress, along with Pence, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris. He already had experience with the Supreme Court by bringing two petitions to them, both of which were denied, but still, okay. But that experience gave him enough success along the way to give him the confidence that maybe, just maybe, he might be able to do something about this investigation that never took place. So their brother, Gaynor, was heavily occupied with his video, audio, television business, Rock Canyon Studios. So Darren got together with his two other brothers to plan out the strategy. They decided to have their oldest brother, Loy, to be the name on the lawsuit, which is called a complaint. Obviously, folks, you know this. And because he would be on the complaint, the court would refer to him as the plaintiff. And the images will show you that's the way it is. Now, there's another one with his brother as well. But the 380 people being sued are the defendants, just so you know. Loy filed the complaint, which eventually got stuck in the federal court. So they got together and decided to have their brother, Roland, file an identical lawsuit with his name on it in the Utah Second District Court. While Loy's lawsuit continued to be held hostage in the federal court, Roland's lawsuit eventually made it to the Supreme Court. And there's more to it, and I want to let Loy, just let him loose. He's got the time. And again, with all due respect, I respect this man. I respect his legal prowess, and I respect his tenacity, and I respect his patriotism. With me, Loy Brunson. Sir, thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and honor to be here. Appreciate what you're doing.
No, it's an honor to have you. Again, I've kind of followed you and watched you from afar and marveled at your tenacity and your legal prowess. So walk us through what's going on. Pretend like I don't know anything and we don't know anything. Tell us, just take it. Walk us through things.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll talk about the current petition, the current complaint, lawsuit, whatever you want to call it, that is before the Supreme Court right now.
Okay.
And that is live and well. First of all, the petition that we were able to file with my name on it as the petitioner is the first Rule 11, Supreme Court Rule 11, that's ever been allowed to be docketed since the 70s. Now, it's the first pro se petition under Rule 11 that's ever been allowed to be docketed in that regard, as pro se, representing yourself. So it's a historical time for us. And we've just been learning as we've been going. So that's right. The one on the left was denied twice. The one on the right, 22-1028, is mine that is alive right now. As a matter of fact, today is the deadline for the United States Solicitor General to file a response. Now, it doesn't mean she has to file a response. She can file a waiver. She can file an extension. And if she doesn't do anything, then the court tomorrow, beginning tomorrow, the court can set a date for a conference. So that's where we're at right now. But I'd like to get a little background on this lawsuit that was happening. While my brother's lawsuit was filed after I got stuck, as you mentioned, as my case got stuck in court, March 31st, 2021, the federal court ordered the U.S. Marshals Service to start serving summons and complaints on Capitol Hill. Now, why the U.S. Marshals Service? It's because Congress had locked themselves down, so we couldn't have any kind of a process server, a sheriff, or anyone like that go in there to do that. The only individuals that were allowed that could do it was the U.S. Marshals Service. So the Federal Court of Utah literally ordered the U.S. Marshals Service to start serving the 388 summonses and complaints. And on March 31st, the docket reflects that about 84 were served, including Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Adam Schiff, and about 81 others. Now, the next day, April 1st, 2021, we got a notice that they had canceled, that the federal court had canceled the service, recalled all those that had been, all that had been served, and actually unfiled my complaint. Well, the court can't do that. That's an administrative job, and the judge cannot interfere and do that. So we realized that the judge, the court had created some liability there by canceling the lawsuit. So we took the federal court of Utah to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals with a complaint called a writ of mandamus. And we told the 10th Circuit Court that the federal court had unfiled my case and canceled the service and recalled service. And they replied back with us saying, there's nothing we can do. They didn't do anything wrong. They're not canceling your complaint. They're just overloaded and they're busy. It's like they didn't even read the pleadings. So because of that, we decided we needed to take both courts to state court, and that's what we did. So the Federal Court of Utah and the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals became defendants, and I'm the plaintiff in a state court action suing them for violating my right of due process and petition for redress of grievances, those rights protected in the Constitution, violating those rights. And so we wanted the judge to do something about that. Well, the U.S. attorneys came on board and they fought and they claimed immunity. But it's interesting because as they were claiming immunity, my brother's case was already moving forward, and they actually used my brother's case and showed that well, what happened was we looked at my brother's case and we could see that they were using his case in a way that allowed us to take what information they had provided in my brother's case and use it against them in what is called a full summary judgment motion, where we could actually bring action against them without going to a trial because it was so obvious. So the judge, the state court judge, was taking a lot of time on this, not making a decision. So the U.S. attorneys actually filed some documents asking the judge to make a decision and asking the judge to give them an extension if the judge allowed us to move forward with a full summary judgment motion and if the judge were to deny their motion to dismiss. So what's happening here is pretty historical because we're talking about a state court judge and U.S. attorneys playing ball with us in state court with the two federal courts as defendants. Now, when you interfere with a lawsuit, you create a problem. If you're found guilty of interfering with a lawsuit, you're liable for the monetary damages. Now, we're asking damages, but we're not asking real damages. We're asking punitive damages. And in order to come up with a feasible number for punitive damages, you need to make it hurt. So we felt like $1 million per cause of action per defendant was reasonable. And with three of the defendants, the president, vice president, and I think it was Nancy Pelosi, we were asking $25 million for cause of action. So the total the total price tag on this would be $2.9 billion per defendant. So this was a $5.8 billion case that the state court judge had the power to adjudicate, but he failed to do that. And so they prevailed in state court, but we, in a way, we won because a few weeks after after that was over with, we received a notice from the federal court that they had actually decided to allow me to move forward with my case, which we were suing them to let me do. And so they actually refiled my case and ordered the clerk of the court to issue 388 summonses. And we were able to continue that with service. The U.S. attorneys came on board. And so, and then, so they filed a motion to dismiss, and we fought with an opposition, fought back and forth. And finally, we were waiting for the judge to make a decision, and he sat on it for a year, about a week short of a year. And so just a few weeks ago, we received a notice that the federal court had actually made a decision. So this opens up another opportunity. Should we go to the 10th Circuit as normal, or should we see if the Supreme Court would allow a Rule 11 emergency petition? Now, the wording for a Rule 11 petition is actually, it needs to be of imperative public importance, or the Supreme Court will not even allow you to docket the case. They'll send it right back to you and say, you've got to go to the 10th Circuit and finish this. You can't come to us. So we were pleasantly surprised and shocked when we were checking the docket and saw that they had actually filed, allowed to be filed and docketed this under Rule 11, 22-1028. Now, if you look at it, let's see. If you go down, you'll see Rule 11. You see there on the right of the screen, you'll see Rule 11. If you look at the last one, it doesn't say Rule 11. So now we have this Rule 11, and as I mentioned, today is the deadline for the Solicitor General to file a response.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt, but sure. Initially the Solicitor General declined to even address or defend their position, being a defendant, right? The Solicitor General would be the attorney for the defendants. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. And as a matter of fact, she signed a waiver the day it was the response was due. She waived her right to file an opposition to my brother's petition. Now, today is the deadline today, so she might file a waiver today. She might file an extension, or she might file a response. Now, I sent her a message, email, and left a phone message asking her to meet with me before she files a response. She could file an extension and meet with me. And what I want to do is, encourage her to actually maybe file an extension and then, or file a response in a way where she encourages the justices to vote in favor of a hearing. So we're hoping that that's what she does. And so we'll be working with her, hopefully, over the next few weeks to encourage her, to encourage the justices to set a date for a hearing. So they definitely will set a date for a conference. So, but the Supreme Court has a break at the end of June, so there may not be enough time to set a conference date before the end of June, and that they come back in October. So we may not have a conference date until October, but we'll see what happens. So we're trying to work with the Solicitor General to see if she will encourage the justices, now that there's a tremendous amount of support for the case, that they actually set a date for a hearing.
Okay. All right. And just to remind people, this case is not necessarily about a rigged election. This case is about whether members of Congress, Biden, Pelosi, and others, Pence, whether they violated their sworn oath by voting to disregard any investigation into the 2020 election irregularities. I just want to remind people about that. And that's a correct statement. Am I right?
That is correct. And not only that, it's also about, like you mentioned, the oath of office.
Yes.
And if you think about it, what honest person would not want their representatives to be bound by oath, as the Constitution in Article 6, you know, very clearly states, with the words, they shall be bound by oath to this Constitution. In order to be bound, they have to be liable. There has to be some kind of problem if they violate their oath. Well, they've given themselves immunity. As a matter of fact, in California, there's a perjury statute. I'm sure it's the way in a lot of other states, where the words actually include politicians and the oath of office. So in California and other states, they can lie under oath when they take their oath and get away with it. It's not perjury if they do it. It's unbelievable how blatant they've been in giving themselves immunity in these state and federal statutes that allow them to completely lie when they take the oath. So Article 6 is very clear. They've all sworn to uphold it. And where's the binding oath? You know, in 2010, my brothers and I produced a little documentary. I was asking the U.S. Senate candidates here in Utah what the penalty was. And I was talking to Mike Lee. This was before he was a senator. And he didn't know. He didn't know if he was even going to subscribe the oath, if that was even required, if you have to sign your name. And so he suggested that there should be teeth. He was right. There should be. But they are acting in a way that they believe they have immunity and they can do anything they want. You know, it's just unbelievable. You think about it. They have had the power to decide the little children, babies, are not human beings. They've actually gotten away with stuff like that. So
that's amazing. Folks, my guest is Loy Brunson. I want to urge everyone out there to follow Loy and his brothers on Truth Social at Official Brunson Brothers SCOTUS. Telegram at Brunson Brothers SCOTUS. It'll be at Hagman PI in the program description box. Follow them. And by the way, support them, because without them speaking for us, the consequences could get really ugly, and we don't want that. This is, you know, the more I look at this, the more I'm thinking, wait a second, this could be that magic bullet. And I'm not talking about the Kennedy bullet, but I'm talking about the magic bullet that fixes or that attempts to repair things or moves to repair things. Loy, continue, please. This is fascinating.
Sure, great, thank you. If people want to support what we're doing, it's real simple. They can go to LoyBrunson.com,
okay,
and they can actually send a letter to the Supreme Court. We've had over 70,000 letters go to the Supreme Court. It's so simple. It shows how to do it. Or if they want to do a digital letter, they can actually create their own message with a form letter that is already there. They can sign with their finger or their mouse with their smartphone or with a computer. And it actually goes to a fulfillment company where it's printed, folded, put in an envelope and postage stamped and sent individually to the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court is required to file every single letter. And so for a $2 minimum gift to help us cover the expenses of the postage and the fulfillment, you can send a letter. You don't need to be of any specific age. You don't need to be a citizen. You can be from any country in the world to do this. And so people are finding that as an exciting way to get involved, a part of history. It's a permanent part of history, and it's basically you're voting to support the oath, support the Constitution, and support the security fix that was breached with the certifying the electoral vote before there was an investigation, without allowing an investigation. So there's an opportunity there. You can also go to 7discoveries.com, and you can actually, if you like, we printed some extra copies of the petition 10-22-1028. So you can actually get a physical, perfect bound copy of that petition. And if you have deep pockets and you can afford it, I have a few that I'll sign if people want to, you know, gift $1,000, which would be a tremendous support. I'm not asking people to do that unless they really feel like they can do it without hurting their own economics. Financial situation, so that there's that option too. And then also I have a pocket-sized book that highlights the power clauses that we're using in the complaints, and also this is the first publication ever that highlights the clauses in the Constitution that condemn socialism. If you were to ask a representative to show you a clause in the Constitution that specifically condemns socialism, they wouldn't be able to do it unless they had this book. Think about it. Any book on that, you can't find a publication of the Constitution that shows that the first 10 amendments amended anything. So this is the first publication ever to show the powerful changes that we've been ignoring for over 200 years that the first 10 amendments actually had effect on with the seven articles.
Man,
so there's that opportunity to there. So
that's that's worth its weight in gold, and I mean that. If you would ask me, I don't know if I'd be able to do that. Point out the that's fantastic. That condemns socialism.
Yeah, so I've discovered a few things. I was inspired by Barack Obama when he said that basically that the foundation of the Constitution is fundamentally flawed. America was fundamentally flawed, and I thought, didn't he swear to defend and uphold the Constitution? If he were my defense attorney, he told the judge I was fundamentally flawed. I mean, I'd fire him on the spot. So he violated his oath. So I started studying the Constitution and connecting dots. And I found that things have been ignored. I mean, powerful clauses. For example, I found that there's an interpretation clause in the Constitution that demands the Constitution only be interpreted in ways that protect our God-given inalienable rights. The Congress defined the First Ten Amendments as further declaratory and restricted clauses to the seven articles. So I don't like the term Bill of Rights. It seems to be kind of a watered down version of the power that's within those amendments. So if you look at the Ninth Amendment, when I read it and connected the dots, I thought to myself, this is the voice of God. It sounds like one of the Ten Commandments with the word shall not. And it goes like this: the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. No construing, no interpreting the document in ways that violates the rights of the people, that benefits the federal government at the expense of we the people. And that's what's happening today. So what an incredible, brilliant clause to have in a document, an interpretation, governing clause, I call it, of the Constitution. And then also the last line of the Fifth Amendment: nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. That includes your money. That's socialism right there, clear, right in front of our faces. You cannot have your money taken from you for public use, your property given to someone else simply because the government deems that they should have it and you should not. So that's a very specific clause to push back against socialism. And there are other clauses as well. And so I love this little book that I've been able to come up with. I printed 21,000. I have about 5,000 left. So people are ordering that, and groups of people are wanting, you know, multiple copies. I think there's a phone number in there that they can call, and I can work out something so it's more affordable if there are groups that want several copies.
Okay. Eric the Tech. By the way, folks, these links will be at HagmanPI.com in this episode. And I do expect, yes, I expect those listening and viewing this to, number one, sign the petition. Number two, contribute to the extent possible, okay, without any expectation of anything. And then also get the pocket size Constitution plus more. They're right there on your screen. And I know that right after this broadcast, Eric the Tech, you and I, we're going to sit down in my office and do all three of those things individually and collectively. And thank you for making this available. That's fantastic. Okay, back to the lawsuit. Rule 11, pro se, unprecedented, really, right? I mean, this is...
It's never been done in the history of the United States. There's never been a pro se Rule 11 petition for a writ of certiorari ever allowed to be filed and docketed.
Yeah, I've never seen it. And I've been in some ways at the periphery of the court system as an investigator for the last 35 years, and I've never seen this. Okay, so it's good. I mean, this is good. So, okay, now today is the deadline for the response by the so-called defense attorney, in my words, with respect to this legal suit. So out of two, correct me again, out of two suits, there's one still standing, right?
The original petition, when they deny a hearing, is still on the shelf.
Oh,
they can
okay.
bring it forward at any time. But my brothers also filed a lawsuit to put some pressure on the court doing the right thing. So he's actually brought some action against three of the justices, the three most liberal justices. And he started in state court and he's in federal court with that, with the U.S. attorneys.
Okay.
So that's happening.
What do you... Okay. And by the way, I believe history will be extremely kind to you and accurately kind. Hopefully, if history books are written after all of this is over. But I think they will. Because I can't, yeah, I mean, your life, you've got to be living, breathing this for the last 2 years, right? I mean, this
yeah, it's time consuming. Yeah, it's taken up my life, and it's a labor of love. Let me tell you, I'm glad I can be in the fight and do something that I feel like is relevant.
I got to ask you this, and this is not a softball question. Did you just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to do this because I'm peeved, or I'm going to do this because my country's at stake, or all of the above? I mean,
well, for the last 12 to 14 years, I've been focused on the Constitution. Our father was really pro-Constitution and tried to ingrain in us the importance of supporting the Constitution, our unalienable rights. And so we've always had that in our minds of being free and doing what we can to be patriotic and support stuff like that. But when my brother and all of us watched what happened of the 2020 certification of the electoral votes, we just got sick, basically. And we just felt so helpless. What could we possibly do? And then my brother just got thinking, brainstorming, and he was telling us that he just got thinking, I know how to sue. There's got to be something I can do in the courts. And so he struggled with it for a month, and he finally called me on the phone and said, hey, I want to bring a lawsuit. Would you be the plaintiff? And I says, absolutely. I'd be happy to do that. So we really didn't think anyone would know about this. Well, after we had filed in federal court, and even after we had sent our petition to the Supreme Court, I reached out to a few media people, mainstream, no response back at all. So I did, and that was my idea to reach out, see if there would be any chance of letting people become aware of this. And so we just decided that no one would be interested, and we'd just see what happened with the decision of the Supreme Court. And it really surprised us. And what happened was I was overheard. I was talking to someone at an event, and someone overheard me saying something about the Supreme Court, and she came over and says, what are you talking about? And I shared it with her, and that started the whole, truth, kind of the truthers movement here, where they wanted to learn more about it. So we're just shocked and thrilled, and we're grateful that there's so much support out there, and it's growing, but we didn't really think we were going to get any support at all. But we just feel grateful and happy that we can do something, and at least help people become aware of the Constitution and the power in it, and how that they've taken advantage of us, our representatives and the government's taken advantage of us because of our ignorance. It reminds me of what Jesus said in the scriptures, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If we don't know the truths in the Constitution, we cannot use those truths to help us become free. And then God can't help us either if we don't know the power that is in the documents that he's allowed us to have to use. How can he help us? And how can he help us if we don't understand how enslaved we are?
Amen, so, brother. Wow. No truer words have been spoken, in my view. You got that exactly right. Okay. So where do you see this going, and in what time frame? Because here we are. You filed this March of 2021, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're 2 years plus, and they're slow. You've got individuals, courts, entities slow walking this. Where do you see this going today and after today, dependent upon the Solicitor General's response?
Well, it's definitely going to be docketed for a conference. Once it's filed and docketed, it is guaranteed to go to a conference. But we're hoping that the Solicitor General will encourage the justices to vote in favor of a hearing, a full-blown hearing.
Okay.
So I thought about, people go, well, gosh, even if the justices, best case scenario for you, the reliefs you're asking for, we're talking about this would turn the country upside down. And I'm thinking, no, not really. The mechanics of it could be quite simple and smooth, in my opinion. First of all, the court could order the U.S. Marshal Service to take a list of defendants to the sergeant in arms, and their credentials could simply be canceled. At the same time, there could be special operations, special forces that go to the Federal Communications Commission, whether the directors there have taken a constitutional oath and they could be set aside for a few days or weeks or whatever time it took. There could also be special military broadcasting ops that could go to the major broadcasting houses and they could just take the place and street clothes, you know, suits and ties and business attire. And they could simply, you could be watching CNN and there's a big break and it comes back with new faces and they say, hey, there's a transition going on, nothing to worry about. There have been some problems with some of the representatives. And then the states could replace those vacancies. And think about the many, the several hundred campaigns that could launch from this and the support that these campaigns would give this decision to remove these security breach members of Congress that shouldn't be holding office anymore. So there could be a very positive outcome to all this and a smooth transition with them being replaced with the hundreds of millions of dollars that would support campaigns. So I think that there could be a very positive, bloodless type revolution where people would just see a seamless kind of transition and replacing members of Congress with others that want to keep their oath and they haven't participated in such a huge security breach as what happened on the 6th of January.
Boy, I'll tell you this, you got that right. And the security breach happened at the highest levels of government, of the House and the House and Senate, as opposed to the people. So that's that. I'm really praying that this goes forward in a very positive way. And I'm praying that the outcome, the outcome. I mean, this one case. I'm amazed it got this far. I'm amazed that you and your brothers, but you actually propelled it this way, pro se, living it day by, I mean, every single day, blood, sweat, and tears, I'm sure, because this is my venue. I know this. And man, God, I'll tell you what, thank you. I mean, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for doing what you're doing. But you're speaking for all of our listeners and all of the people of the United States for doing what you're doing. And you're holding to account those people who have violated their oaths, the contemptible, I like to call scumbaggery out there that are occupying seats and making and selling out our nation for their own personal profit. You want to see them, essentially replaced with people, with good people of high integrity. Right the wrongs through the court system as it should be. And for that, we thank you. Folks, please dig deep. Follow and support this man, his brothers, this initiative. What have I left out? What haven't I asked you? What do you need to convey at this point? Because you have the floor for the next few minutes. Anything you want to say, please do, because I'd like to have you back as well, because anything that we can do to avoid bloodshed, I'm in favor of.
Go ahead. I'd love to come back as this progresses. Some people got a little discouraged, and I was surprised at how positive people have been, even with the two denials, with the first petition. But this is a war, and if you lose a battle, you don't lose the war.
Yeah.
And so we have so much more momentum now that we have this last petition, and it's docketed under Rule 11. But I want people to realize that regardless of what the justices do, it's a hugely important note to remember that the public awareness, the public, we the people are becoming aware of the power in the Constitution and a binding oath and how it's been neglected and overlooked and ignored and violated. And so just that in and of itself is a tremendous step forward into we the people holding our representatives' feet to the fire by letting them know we know the oath is supposed to be binding. Now they've got to question themselves and they have to answer questions, you know, that are asked by people. And I suggest I'm going to try to put something together where it's a piece of paper that people can download, a form where it's the congressional oath, but it also, at the end of it, will say under penalties of perjury. And if you know any If you go to a town hall meeting with a current member of Congress, federal or state, or someone running for office, ask them. You could just simply ask them without the form, say, would you be willing to sign your oath under penalties of perjury? Would you be willing to do that? And have them on camera say yes or no. And if they won't, then that's a big sign. So they're, what are they going to do? They'd better go grab a copy of the Constitution and study up on it and realize that their job description is to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, which is simply in place to protect our God-given unalienable rights. So I just encourage people to go to LloydBrunson.com and see. There's a cool video that Mike Huckabee's producer put together. You can click on that arrow right there. That's the screen for the video. And you can go to 7discoveries.com to get an actual physical copy of the actual 22-1028 that the justices will be reviewing and are reviewing right now. And that's a great way to support it. And share with your friends, get two people to do it and get them to do two and two and two. We could have an exponential increase there, but it's just exciting for me to see the people respond and people becoming more familiar with the Constitution in a powerful, significant, and relevant way instead of just understanding the history behind it, which is important. But here's an opportunity to take action, and it's so simple, at LloydBrunson.com to send a letter or multiple letters to the Supreme Court. And then we have proof that the letters were sent, and we're getting some great, incredible letters from incredible people and great support. So we appreciate you out there for working at this groundswell. Now, if you know Donald Trump personally, he's truthed an article about this, and he's retruthed, and so he's familiar with my brother's case. I'm not sure he's familiar with this one. So we're working hard to see if we can get him to promote the letter campaign as well, because I'd like to see 100 million letters. I'd like to see more letters than what it was claimed that was the win for the current person in office, Joe Biden. And wouldn't that be great to see 100 million letters of support that we need a binding oath and that we need to fix the security breach?
Amen to that. And I will say this. I know President Trump's people know of you, of the situation. Okay. So I can tell you that as recent as last week, I can guarantee you that, which in part is why I'm glad you're on today. But there are some things happening in the background that I think people are going to be surprised. And I'm going to be following this case very closely. You're invited back 100% all of the time for updates. You are, to me, an American hero. You actually put your money, your time, your blood, sweat, and tears where your mouth is. And I appreciate you. We appreciate you, Eric the Tech. Thank you for setting this up. And Loy, thank you so very much for all you do.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here and love to come back. Thank you very much.
I'll tell you what, you pick up the phone or you're back anytime. Okay. For any reason.
As soon as we have an update, you bet we'll come back and let you know what's happening.
All right, my friend. And hopefully I can call you my friend, because anyone who's done what you're doing or what you've done and are doing is certainly a friend of mine and a friend of the United States. God bless you, my friend. You take care of yourself and, just watch your six, okay?
Thank you. I'm honored. Thanks again.
All right, sir. Thank you. Folks, that was Loy Brunson. LloydBrunson.com. LloydBrunson.com. In the program description notes, a link will be there. You know, I don't know. This is a couple of months ago. I kind of dismissed it mentally because it didn't go forward. And I'm thinking, wait. Yeah, it still is. I was kind of mind, you know what I mean, by the naysayers in the media. Now, look, this is not hopium. I do understand 100% the weight of the weight is really against the forward momentum of this. However, what other choices do we have? And to those of you who know this case through other avenues and channels, congratulations, but also understand, regardless of what happened, this will be a bookmark in history. I'm telling you, just as much as me throwing that television in a courtroom in upstate New York at a judge or toward the judge's bench, because I couldn't throw the TV that, you know, out of frustration and anger. That's recorded in the annals of that county. This is a bookmark in history, a big one. And I thank this man, his brothers, and their efforts. And folks, look at it this way. Right now, we are at the precipice. And I was talking with Steve Quayle, and we're at the precipice of a financial collapse like you've never seen. We're at the precipice of a world war. We're at the precipice of some of the most hideous and heinous things about to take place in the United States and globally. By the way, we've got to get out of our heads thinking that this is only taking place in the United States. This is a global, satanic, cabalic, whatever you want to call it, evil thing that's taking place right now. And we are not going to fight this in practicality alone. This is a spiritual battle. We're going to fight this through prayer and action. It's not either or, it's both. We have to have both. You know, you look at the headlines, and the headlines are becoming more dire every day. You look at the headlines, the Federal Reserve officials now, they're mulling their 11th round of rate hikes. People, and this is one thing I've learned. I didn't quite understand this in my younger years. When you're looking at the rate hikes, okay, understand what that means. People are going to die. Okay, yes, that's not an overstatement. When there are things that happen in the financial sector, that does cause things in third world countries and other places that impact adversely people, and there are deaths associated with that. You know, you think losing your 401k and stuff is bad. Look, I get it. It's bad, but it could be a lot worse, and it is going to be a lot worse. The globalists are taking over farms. I had a conversation yesterday with the fantastic Dr. Carla Dean Graves. Just an absolute wonder of a person. And we were talking about things. We were talking about, you know, what's coming next in terms of the pandemic and the World Health Organization, what they are going to do to us, what they're planning to do. It sans any kind of pushback, what the World Health Organization is going to do. And oh, we've got some things. Again, we're not just talking about things. We are acting against this in ways. When the time comes, we will. I will tell you. I promise. But to talk about it now would give away our methods. The southern border. Yes, we are active, involved, essentially, in pushing back against this invasion. How? Not prudent to talk about right now. To quote the Bush clan, but things are happening on that front. There are people, there are unsung heroes, people that you don't see or hear about that are actively involved in fighting the WEF, the Committee of 300, the Bilderberg, the Trilateral Commission, those organizations, Klaus Schwab, Harari, those people. There are people out there right now that are actively fighting against them. Will they win? I don't know. But this is a war, as you heard Lloyd Brunson talk about. We are fully engaged in a war, whether you want to know or whether you know this or not. Wake up, folks, because we're in the midst. We're at the early stages of a kinetic global conflict that will impact every part of your life. And many, many thanks to Loy Brunson because he's in the thick of it. He's out there. He's doing what he's in his lane, doing what he needs to do. We need to be in our specific lanes, doing what we need to be doing. And if you're unsure, hit your knees, ask God for guidance. But let's work together and let's push forward. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Share this with others on social media. I appreciate all of you.